Well, some of you may have heard about Hank. You may have heard of him before. Hank was a young boy, and he was a young fellow with a lot of questions. And one day, Hank actually had a conversation with God. The conversation went something like this. Hank said, "God, I was wondering, how long is a million years to you?" God said, "Well, Hank, a million years to me is kind of like 1 second." Hank said, "Okay, well, God, how much is $1 million to you?" God said, "Well, Hank, $1 million to me is kind of like 1 penny to you." Hank, with a smile on his face, said, "Then God, can I have one of your pennies?" To which God replied, "Yeah, sure, Hank, give me 1 second. Well, you might have heard of Hank, but maybe you haven't heard of what happened at the Grace Church. Early one morning, the pastor of the Grace Church was there on a Sunday getting ready for the service, and the treasurer came to see him before the worship service, and the treasurer said, "Well, Pastor, I hate to tell you this, but the bank account's really low, and I really need you to emphasize the offering today. We don't have enough to pay the mortgage. We don't even have enough to pay the utilities this month. Can you emphasize the offering today?" The pastor said, "Yeah, I can do that." So he went to the Sunday morning service, and he told the congregation, he said, "Listen, this morning we really need a big offering from you. We're running low, and we can't afford our bills this month, and we really need you to give, and give generously this morning. In fact, this morning," he said, I would like to recognize the person who gives the most this morning, and to honor you, we're going to let you pick 3 hymns for our service." Well, the offering was taken up, and an usher excitedly came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, you won't believe this, but someone put a check for $10,000 in the offering plate this morning, and I think we're going to have enough to pay our bills." And the pastor said, "That's great." And he stood up and he said, "Listen, you all have been so generous. I'm so thankful for the gifts." He said, "I want to recognize the person this morning who gave this wonderful gift. Would the person who gave $10,000 this morning please stand up?" And this shy, quiet, little elderly lady in the very back of the church stood up and kind of shyly waved her hand. And the pastor said, "Would you come down here to the front? We want to recognize you this morning." And she made her way down to the front. And he said, "We're so grateful for your generosity. Thank you for giving to the church. It's what, such a blessing." He said, "And as my promise," he said, "I would like for you in our service this morning to be able to pick out 3 hymns. And she turned to the congregation with a big smile on her face, and she said, "I'll take him and him and him." Well, by now you know this is the dreaded money sermon. Money has always been an issue in the church, and sometimes it's uncomfortable for us to talk about it. But money was a priority to Jesus. And if we are to be faithful followers of our Lord and Savior, we need to talk about and think about money. In our text for today, the people came by and they put their money in the temple treasury. And there was a poor woman, a widow nonetheless, who came by and put 2 small copper coins into the temple treasury. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Think about that. That is a powerful statement. She put in all she had to live on. This text raises some thought-provoking questions for each one of us this morning. How much of our income should we give to God? What percentage of our household monetary budget should we designate to give to the church? These questions are for every devoted, conscientious Christian. We must wrestle with these questions in our spiritual life. For as I read this week, a powerful statement that says, it is not possible to grow in one's spiritual life and in one's relationship with God without addressing the stewardship question. In other words, we can't grow spiritually until we honestly deal with how we handle our financial resources. I also read in an article this week, if you were to ask someone in the church why they don't give more money to the church, more than likely they would say one of these three answers. We have a lot of debt and things are tight right now. Or second, I'm saving up for something to buy or to go on a vacation, and after that, I can be more generous. Or third, I might not have enough money to cover my expenses this month. Do you know that 26 times in the New Testament, Jesus referenced the term stewardship or steward? 26 direct references. So if we are to be faithful in our walk with Christ, we must reflect on what it means to be a faithful steward. So how do we answer these questions? How much money should we give to the church? And let's be clear this morning. What we're talking about today is how much should we give to the church? Not to charity, not to nonprofit organizations, not to the college or the university from which we graduated. Those are good things. But the question this morning is, how much should we give to God's work through the church? Well, this morning, let me just offer you a few thoughts to consider as we reflect upon the experience of this widow in our text for today. Here's number one. We cannot base our standard of giving on what someone else gives to the church. In other words, we cannot base what we give to God or evaluate and judge what we give to God based on what anyone else gives to the church. We can't come to church and happen to see someone put $1 or $5 or $10 or $20 or whatever the amount is in the offering plate and think to ourselves, well, at least I give more than that person does. According to our text for today, even if we give more, God may be more pleased with the individual who gives less. For in our text for this morning, Jesus drew attention to this poor widow who put only two small copper coins in the temple treasury. No doubt it was probably the smallest amount that was given that day. But remember what Jesus said. She gave more than all the others who had gone before her, who gave much larger amounts. Why? It was precious to God because she gave all she had to give. Everyone else gave out of their surplus. They gave out of the abundance that they had. They gave out of what was left over after they had spent on everything else. But this woman gave everything she had to live on. One of the lessons Jesus clearly teaches in this text that God does not compare our offerings to anyone else. God is not concerned whether we give more or less than our neighbors or the person sitting on the pew in front of us or anyone else around us. God is concerned with what God has given to us and what we faithfully give back to God. Second, likewise, we should not base our standard of giving primarily upon what the church needs. Now, I want to be really clear about this one. Some people give to the church based on what they feel the church needs as to how it is responding to its budget. So if the church is not doing very well, they will give. But if the church is meeting its operating expenses and its budgets, they don't feel a need to give. But according to Scripture, that is not the basis for evaluating how much we should give back to God and to the work of the church. excuse me, this type of method is often used in stewardship campaigns. The total amount of money that is needed is projected. And then we take the number of giving units or individuals or members or families in the church, divide it by the amount of money that is needed, and that's the amount that each giving unit in the church should give. It works well from a mathematical perspective, but let's be honest, it is poor theology. What we need to understand is that that kind of standard of giving then would vary from year to year and would vary from church to church. For example, a person might attend a small rural church and the total operating budget of this church would be $50,000 or so. And if we attended that church, we might not feel the need to give as much because the operating expenses are not that great. However, if we then moved to another church where the budget was 20 to 30 to 40 times that amount, we may feel like we should give more because the needs are greater. Scripture says our relationship with God does not work that way. Our commitment to God is based on the work of the church in the world with what God is doing with that money. And it should not be based solely or primarily just on what the church needs at that moment. If the church were to receive surplus funds over and above operating expenses, surely the church would put those surplus funds to good mission and ministry endeavors. It is God's money, after all. Here's another example I read about a church in Texas many years ago that had the distinction of being the oil well church. Well, the reason was that on the premises of this church, in fact, in the front lawn of the church and all around the property of the church, there were several oil wells. And the church, or the prophets coming from those oil wells, came to the church. And many pastors wanted to serve this church because it was known as the wealthy church, right? But having oil wells in the church promoted the programs and the mission efforts of the church, but it gave a false sense to the people of how much they should be giving. In other words, they didn't really think about, does the church need the money? Because it really didn't need the money after all. So why should they give? The church was functioning just fine. That worked well until the oil bust came. And when the price of oil drastically dropped, can you guess what happened to the church's budget and its ministry and its programs? Yes, they all plummeted. Why? Because the people had been conditioned to give solely on the basis of what they perceived the church needed, not what they should be giving based on what God had given to them. And they cheerfully wanted to give back to God. God and Christian stewardship do not work that way. Our giving should not be based primarily on the needs of the church. Now, when the church has needs, surely that is a time for us to give. But our primary basis for giving should not be solely dependent upon the needs of the church. Well, third, the only acceptable standard of giving then is what God would have each one of us give as we relate to Him in our spiritual lives. You see, it's not what someone else gives. It's not just what the church needs. Our giving is intended to be based upon what God has given to us and expects us to give back in faithful stewardship. Think about all that we give to the government in taxes. Think about all that we spend on eating out, leisure activities, entertainment. Think about what we spend on vacations and on our cars and our clothes and our homes, and on we could go. Here's the question: how can we possibly give God less than all these other things in our lives? How much, what percentage of our income would God have us give to the work of the church? You see, it all boils down to our priorities. Actually, I think it's sad that as we think about, sometimes we give 20 to 25 to 30 plus percent of our income to the IRS for taxes and for Social Security. And then sometimes we're satisfied giving God 1 to 2%. Jesus said something about this in Matthew chapter 22, Verse 21, Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and give to God the things that belong to God." This is our calling as Christians. To be honest, the prophet Malachi put it even more bluntly. Prophet Malachi said, "Will anyone rob God?" In other words, would anyone actually steal, take away from God? He continues this message. I'll put it in my words. It's Malachi's message. But what he says is, if we give God what rightfully belongs to God, then believe me, he says, God will bless you. But it just might be that the more of our income we withhold from God, the more of a struggle it will be to make ends meet. The opposite is also true. The prophet Malachi and Jesus in this example, as he watches this widow woman, says, when you give faithfully and cheerfully to God, you will be blessed. What you have left over will go further. You will receive unexpected benefits that will come your way. The windows of heaven will open and will pour down overflowing blessings in your life. Now, of course, we don't give so that we get those economic blessings, but the promise from Scripture is very clear. When we are faithful, God will take care of us. That's exactly what we learn from this widow who gave everything she had to God. When we give faithfully and cheerfully, God will take care of us. So what is the bottom line when it comes to our personal giving? It's not what our neighbor gives. It's not primarily what the church needs. The bottom line is, what has God given to you? What does God expect you to give back faithfully, cheerfully, to the work that God is doing? I'll remind you of this truth. We will not grow in our spiritual lives and in our relationship with God if we fail to address the issue of faithful stewardship. As God's word reminds us, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap generously. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this Sunday when we vote on our church budget, a budget that belongs to you, on this Sunday when we reflect upon the financial resources you have given to each one of us, and your call to find us faithful. Lord, today, first we say thanks, for you bless us far beyond what we could ever expect or deserve. But secondly, Lord, we pray you would challenge us each day, each week, each month, each year of our lives to listen, to reflect upon your blessings in our lives, and to faithfully give back to you from a generous heart. Lead us and guide us, Lord, in these ways. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.